Japan has thrown a bailout lifeline to Europe.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Now to the global perspective, what's happening in business and economics at the intersection of the U.S. and the rest of the world. It's a deepening debt crisis across the pond, as we know, in Europe. First Greece, then Ireland. Now the Japanese government has pledged about $1 billion to help with an Irish bailout. Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard is with us live from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Is this a direct investment, a direct Japanese investment in Ireland?
No, they're buying some of these so-called bailout bonds. The money will go to Ireland as part of its bailout, but the bonds will be guaranteed by the whole of the European Union. So the money is pretty safe.
And what's at stake for the Japanese, Stephen?
Well, quite a bit. I mean, 10% of Japanese exports go to the EU, so it has an interest, Japan has an interest in trying to prevent turmoil in that market. Also, of course, if the Eurozone were to break up, the euro would collapse and other stronger currencies, especially the Japanese yen, would soar, and that would make Japanese exports more expensive and be bad for Japanese business.
Is this investment, Stephen, going to prevent the European debt crisis from getting bigger, from spreading?
Well, one analyst I've been talking to this morning says no. Steve Barrow of Standard Bank says Greece and Ireland have already fallen and had to be bailed out. Barrow thinks Portugal could be the next casualty.
It does look as if Portugal, for instance, is the next domino to fall. And I don't think Japanese investment in the Eurozone will stop Portugal from requiring that bailout.
The Portuguese Prime Minister has just this morning denied again that Portugal does need bailing out. We'll find out whether that's true when his government tries to borrow more money on the markets tomorrow.
Stephen Beard, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London for us this morning. China's largest oil and gas producer has struck a deal with a British energy company, and that's going to give China a stake in one of Britain's key oil refineries in Scotland and another one in France. But why is a Chinese company interested in these operations? The BBC's Rebecca Singer has that.
For PetroChina, this joint venture is about expanding to become a truly global company. And striking a deal with Britain's INEOS gives it unprecedented access to Western European markets. Questions have been asked about whether China will use the oil for its own purposes. But Tom Crotty, one of the directors of the INEOS Group, says China doesn't need the oil.
If they wanted it for their own needs, they'd be spending the money building refineries in China. This is very much about building a strategic long-term business. It helps us develop our strategy in Asia because we're going to be doing more work there with them as well.
Crotty says PetroChina will invest in the two European refineries to make them more competitive. And apart from oil refining, PetroChina will also get access to Scottish energy research, which is considered to be amongst the best in the world. China has already secured another deal to develop renewable energy technology pioneered in Scotland. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. European shares are higher at the moment, about 1%. Aluminum giant Alcoa said fourth quarter numbers were better than expected. Profit at home builder Lennar slipped as the company delivered fewer homes and new orders declined in the fourth quarter. A mixed bag on Wall Street yesterday. The Nasdaq was up, but the Dow lost a little ground, down 37 points to close at 11,637.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. By Constellation Energy, committed to customer choice and powering America's clean energy future through investments in natural gas, nuclear, wind, solar, and efficiency technologies. And by Microsoft, providing comprehensive business solutions for the cloud. You can learn more at microsoft.com/cloud.
Congress suspended work this week after the shooting tragedy in Arizona. But when members reconvene, one of the things they're going to have to deal with is how the country is going to go forward paying for big transportation and infrastructure projects. Budget cuts are on the agenda, and some groups say the private sector can play a bigger role. From the Transportation Nation Reporting Project at WNYC, Andrea Bernstein reports.
In Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, not too long ago, I had a conversation with resident Debbie Horoshuk about whether she thought the government should be spending money on things like roads, bridges, and railroads.
It should all be fixed.
You think that would be a good thing to spend money on?
No.
No.
But they should be fixed.
Construction company executives aren't laughing, though. Mike McNally is the president and CEO of Skanska USA. Here's how he describes what it's like to build a huge piece of infrastructure.
You know, start, stop, start, stop.
That's what happened in New Jersey when a Democratic governor started a $9 billion commuter rail tunnel under the Hudson River. A year and a half later, his Republican successor killed the project, saying he was afraid of cost overruns. McNally says it's time to do things differently. Instead of having the government pay, draw up a contract with a private construction firm, let it design, build, and run the project. In exchange, that company gets to collect any revenue the project produces.
It's the most fair way to do it when you think about it, because the person that's using that, say, bridge or tunnel or whatever, is actually paying for the use, not somebody in Nevada.
McNally says many Asian, European, and South American countries won't build any big projects without these partnerships. There are critics. The U.S. Public Interest Research Group's Phineas Baxendahl says they're not really happy marriages.
They're often more like shotgun weddings, where a desperate state or city is forced to accept some kind of upfront local cash in order to give a long-term concession.
But still, public-private partnerships are winning converts. The U.S. Transportation Department is getting behind them, and so is the new Republican chair of Congress's Transportation Committee. In New York, I'm Andrea Bernstein for Marketplace.
And finally, you can tell a lot about where a tweet comes from by the slang words used in the message. Researchers at Carnegie Mellon University found people in different regions used different spellings of words. For example, in tweets from many cities, the word something is spelled S-U-M-T-H-I-N. In tweets coming from New York, it's spelled S-U-T-T-I-N, Sutton. Northern Californians use the term hella a lot. Hella means very, as in that's hella cool. The researchers say the study offers an opportunity to watch regional dialects evolve. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Americans throw a lot of stuff away without really any motivation to stop.
Makes me think about an all-you-can-eat buffet, as in all-you-can-throw-out trash, and with no incentives for people to think about the cost of what they're doing.
I'm Kai Rizdal, the Freakonomics of Garbage, next time on Marketplace. Today's business news and the numbers from Wall Street as well. It's from American Public Media.